Turn to Numbers chapter 13. Still looking at some of the allegories in Scripture. And let me say there are probably thousands upon thousands of allegories. Because any event in both Old Testament and New, in some way, allegorizes the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever it might be. But I have two passages just as kind of a starting place this morning. Numbers chapter 13. And just to set the scene here, the children of Israel are now just outside of the promised land. They are at Kadesh. And God has sent in 10 spies to spy out the land. The 10 spies are there for 40 days. The 10 spies return. I'm just giving you a brief overview. And this is what we read in Numbers chapter 13 and in verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Now turn over to Numbers chapter 32. Remember, this is where they were encamped at Kadesh. God sent in the spies. Of course, you probably are aware of the account that the people rebelled against the covenant promises of God, and God sent them then into the wilderness for 40 years, where God had said, I'm going to kill every one of you above 20 years old except for Joshua and Caleb.
Amen.
Now, 40 years have expired. Thousands of people have died.
Yes, sir.
Probably a few million have died in the wilderness. God laid their carcasses down in the wilderness. And now the children of Israel have, I think you forgive me if I get the order wrong, but they have begun the battle. And we find here that the tribe of Gad and the tribe of Reuben, and in another place you will see the half tribe of Manasseh, says we want land on this side of the river, beyond the east side. And anyway, this is what it says in verse 6 of Numbers 32. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here?
Yeah.
And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord God hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea. Do you see that now?
Yes, sir.
To see the land. In other words, Moses is warning them, don't do what they did back yonder.
Exactly.
Do you see that? It's a warning. Mm-hmm. But in the first episode, in the first event, we find they are at Kadesh or Kadesh. Mm-hmm. Now Moses calls it what? Kadesh Barnea. That's what I want to try to speak about this morning, is Kadesh and, not or, but Kadesh and Kadesh Barnea. My introduction is this. A man need not wear a three-piece suit. He need only have his nakedness clothed. What am I talking about? Am I preaching against nakedness? Yeah. But that's not the message. That's not the message. You cannot take an allegory and approach it as you would one of the epistles with this doctrinal detail. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, you don't have to try to get the proverbial blood out of the turnip when it comes to allegories.
It's true.
The epistles are letters written by specific men, and each and every word is valid and vital to establishes the doctrine of God. But when it comes to an allegory, we simply take parts and pictures and types and events and words. to simply express truth that is already established in the Scripture. Now, basically, I've said the same thing I said to you last Sunday. In other words, we don't take an allegory and try to prove the truth from the allegory. The truth is established through doctrine in the Scripture. Amen. But then we use allegories to give us as human beings, and God ordained it that way,
yes,
to give us as human beings something that we can relate to when it comes to that truth. A picture message, so to speak. So remember that. I'm not going to try to go through all of this. Now we're looking from Kadesh, when they first was there. Now it's 40 years later. 40 years have transpired.
Oh, yeah.
And now Moses calls it what? Kadesh Barnea. So first of all, what does Kadesh mean? Well, the word strictly wrote out would be holy. It'd be holy. We're consecrated. I've said this before, and I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but try not, when we think of God as holy and absolute holiness, it is certainly sinlessness.
Yes, sir.
But that's a gimme.
Yeah.
That's a gimme.
Yeah.
When we speak of holiness, it is in the sense of consecration or sanctification, to be set apart or to be distinct from. And God is intrinsically holy.
Amen.
He is intrinsically distinct from or separate from everything else that exists. Because there was a time when only God himself existed and nothing else existed. The universe as we know it. And even into the far reaches of space that we've been able to see now through like the Hubble Space Telescope. None of these things existed at one time.
That's right.
Only God did.
Yeah.
And God spoke all of these things into existence.
Yes,
but God, so therefore God himself is intrinsically holy, separate from and above, distinct from, consecrated from everything else. But God has the right to call things holy.
Amen.
God has the right to consecrate things.
Yes, sir.
Even fallen things. Why? Because he's God.
Amen.
He does what he wants. Kadesh means holy, consecrated, or as would be seen in the context of the events of Numbers chapter 13, Kadesh was a sanctuary. It was a sanctuary in Paran, a sanctuary in the wilderness. It was a sanctuary. Think of it this way. Here are these people just have been delivered from the bondage of Egypt. Think of all the miracles they've just seen. Now they stand before the promised land in what? A sanctuary with all this desert or wilderness around them. And God says, I'm going to send 10 men in to spy out the land. Go take the land. Isn't that that's the context,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
But then 40 years later, we find Moses calling it what? Kadesh Barnea. What's that mean? That means this, a fugitive of the sanctuary in the wilderness.
Yeah.
They were fugitives.
Yeah.
They had rebelled against God Almighty's covenant promise and said, we cannot do this. Had they not?
Yeah.
Is that not the context? They were fugitives. This is not a reference to their being fugitives from Egypt. That's over and done with.
Oh, yeah.
Pharaoh and his army are dead at the Red Sea, right?
Yes, sir.
They're not a bother to them anymore. The fugitive here is that they were fugitives even while in this little sanctuary, Joe, looking on the promised land.
Yes, sir.
A fugitive of the sanctuary in the wilderness. So the actual context of it here is Israel's Kadesh unbelief.
Yeah.
Right? Their Kadesh unbelief. Even while at the sanctuary, they disbelieve God. No, they reject God.
Yeah.
More than just disbelief. Because
yeah.
It's not just a neutral thing. They rejected God's covenant promise. And God says, I have rejected you.
Amen.
And there was no turning point. We'll see that in just a moment. But as an allegory, is it not true that the person and work of Jesus Christ, that the gospel of Jesus Christ's cross work, is it not a sanctuary for sinners in the wilderness?
Yeah.
Is it not? It's a sanctuary for sinners in the wilderness. The gospel of Christ's cross work is our Kadesh.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It's the sanctuary.
Yeah.
And let me put it this way, as an allegory, as a type, it is how do men and women respond to the message at Kadesh?
Yes, sir.
That's the question.
Yeah.
That's the question. Here, that is in Kadesh, is where men and women rebel against God, but they do so by rebelling against the gospel.
Yes, sir.
Right? That's where rebellion is headed at.
Yeah.
That's where it is. That's where rebellion and unbelief, that's where it's at its heart. Now, it may have many appendages, but unbelief starts, it begins with, it finds its head, its fountain in this: I do not believe the record God gave of His Son. That's where it's at. It's at Kadesh. Think of it. 10 are sent in, and we know 8 of them give an evil report.
Oh, yeah.
Not about the land. Huh? Not about the land. Oh yes. For instance, out of the masses of men who say they speak for God, it is always and has always been a minority who speak the whole counsel of God.
You're right.
Almost everybody says, "Oh, the land's great."
Yeah.
Right? But very few say, "By the promise of God, we can take it."
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah, that's it.
Very few. There was only 2 that came back. Think of it, they came back. Is this not the gospel? They came back with the grapes and the figs and the pomegranates. They had the proof.
Yes, sir.
Of the glory of the land, did they not?
Yeah.
I mean, there was, it says, 1 cluster of grapes that they had to hang on a stick, and 2 of them carried it out on that stick.
Yeah.
That's a massive cluster of grapes.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
You know?
That's exactly right.
But I can see the natural mind. Yeah, but that's probably just 1 place. You just got lucky and happened upon the 1 place. No, they brought back the grapes and the pomegranates and the figs, and some could not find it within themselves just to tell the truth. Here's the way it is. Yes, there are giants in the land. They have fortifications. They're not just tents. They have fortifications, but God Almighty promised us that land. Look where we've been. Look where we are now. Let's move forward. And they said, but we can't do it.
That's it.
Isn't that the way it is today? You have 2. Now listen to me first. Everything. You got 2 gospels.
Yeah.
You got a gospel of it can't be done.
Yeah.
And a gospel of God's promised it and it shall be done. You got them 2 things. 2 different opposing, let me put it, 2 different messages.
Yeah.
1 of them is the gospel.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's Kadesh. Kadesh is that place where God Almighty brings men and women and boys and girls to a decision point when they begin to hear the gospel preached.
Yeah.
That's what Kadesh is.
Yeah.
Here is where men and women rebel. And what do they rebel against? The gospel. The message of the person and work of Christ. But also, at Kadesh, here is where a people find hope in the merit of another.
Amen.
Now, just turn over. If you're still in Numbers 13, turn over a page or whatever it takes to get to Numbers chapter 14 and look at a couple verses here. Verse 23. Now, this is allegory. I'm using it as allegory, but this is allegory of the truth of God. God says, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Not everybody is going to enter the land.
Amen.
Now let's get that straight right off the bat. God is not trying to save everybody.
Exactly.
Any message other than that, any message rather, that leaves that out, that denies that, that tries to ignore that, is not the truth.
Amen. That's right.
Is it?
That's it.
God said, everyone 20 years and older, other than two men, your carcasses are going to die in the wilderness. And that's the way it's going to be. There is no reprieve from that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Remember, they thought they could avoid it. The people who are rejected, who listen to the eight rather than the two.
Yeah.
God said, you're going to die. Every one of you is going to die in the wilderness. And they thought about that for a moment.
Yeah.
Whoa. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Now, ain't it amazing? They said, well, guess what? We best go up then.
Exactly.
Isn't that what they did?
Oh, yeah.
We best go up then. And God said, it ain't going to do you any good.
That's right.
They tried.
Exactly right.
They got beat. Miserably beat.
Yeah.
Because you go according to God's truth, God's way, or you will not go at all.
Amen. Yep. That's it. Yep.
And it is amazing. They believed they were going to die in the wilderness, but they didn't believe they could take the land. That's the way unbelief is. It's mixed with just enough faith to get what I want. What feels good to me. What sounds good to me. What makes me feel happy and at ease. Let me tell you, sometimes the gospel is not going to make you feel at ease. It's going to make you to feel and to know, I am a stranger and a pilgrim in this world. There are a few Kadeshes around, a few sanctuaries, but they're few and far in between. Now look, let me read on. Didn't even get started with that. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. Remember, Hebrews says, God swore in his wrath, they shall not enter.
Amen.
But my servant Caleb,
yes,
because he had another spirit with him, huh?
Amen.
And it followed me fully.
Yes, sir.
Now think of that in allegory, who that's really talking about.
Yeah.
And it followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went. And look at that next phrase. And his seed shall possess it.
Amen.
Oh, is that not, is Kadesh, is not, yes, Kadesh is a place of rejection and rebellion, but what is it also?
Yeah.
It's the place where Jesus Christ did what God demanded. It's the gospel. It's his cross work. It's his substitutionary sacrifice and his earning of merit for the people of God before God. That's what Kadesh is. With this in mind, Kadesh, the gospel both personified and in message. Because there is a truth that you cannot separate the two. The gospel message means nothing apart from a gospel person. You understand? But God has so ordained it that there will be no hope in the gospel person apart from the gospel message being proclaimed. So you see what I'm saying? They are different. They are separate, but they are vitally connected. They're vitally connected. The apostle put it this way. This is what Kadesh is. He said, we are this. Why? Because we have this treasure. This treasure of this message of the person and work of Christ in earthen vessels. It's in us. Our tongues have been loosed, Joe.
Yes, sir.
We can speak now about him. Why? Because we met him.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
We've met him. He's did something not only for us. We didn't see that. We just believe it.
Yeah.
But he's also done something what? To us.
Amen.
So Kadesh is a place where there's both rejection, but all what else? Faith.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it? Obedience.
Yes, sir.
And Paul says we are a savor unto all men.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Amen.
Yeah. We're a savor unto all men.
Yeah.
We're a savor of life unto life. Uh-huh. But we're also a savor of death unto death.
Amen.
The gospel is indeed a two-edged sword.
Exactly.
It is indeed. Because God says some will possess, but others, I swear in my wrath. How many people's preaching on that?
Exactly.
I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter in. So with this in mind, this is Kadesh, the gospel. Let's see if we can glean just a little more. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. Got to move along. Number one, first of all, Two significant events occurred between Kadesh and some other place. Now, what do you think of when you think of, okay, it says, we'll look at, you can be turning to see, what is it? Let me find it. The first one is Genesis chapter 16. Just be turning to that one. Between. Whenever someone says, here's something in between, what do you think of? Riding the fence. Compromise. In between. Right? It's in between. Let me tell you, there's a lot of in-between in our world.
You're right.
Isn't there?
Yes, sir.
Genesis chapter 16, here's one of the first mentions of Kadesh. Look at verse 15. Or no, I'm sorry, verse 14. Wherefore, the well was called Be'er Laharoe. Behold, it is between what? Kadesh and Bered. That is the sanctuary and the hailstorm. Between the sanctuary, what was it? Riding the fence. That's what I'm talking about. That's the allegory. Who was riding the fence? Who's this talking about?
Yeah.
Hagar.
Yeah.
This is Hagar. Now what meant? She is between.
Yeah.
Not on either way. Not settled or fixed on either side of the argument. She's between two places. And one of them happens to be what? The sanctuary. But look at what was said. Now, this was when Hagar fled from Sarah the first time. Because the second time, Hagar was put out.
Yep.
You remember the second time?
Sure.
Paul speaks of it. He says it's an allegory.
Yeah.
Put the bond woman and her son out. Because they will not be heirs with the son of the free. Right?
Amen.
What did God tell Hagar here to do when he met her at this well?
Yeah.
Here's the crux of it. Here's the crux of everything. Here's where it's at. Let me look. Let me find it. I know I got it wrote down. Let me find it where I got it. Chapter 16, verse 9. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress. Think of that in allegory. Go back to Sarah. What is Sarah a type of? An allegory of. We have that as a basis in Scripture. Grace. Go back to grace. Right? And what? Look. Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. You see that? Yeah, sometimes even when we're between, God will send the message. But what happened? Hagar went back, did she not?
Yeah.
A lot of people go.
Yeah.
They go.
Oh, yeah.
But it's clearly evident that she did not truly what? Come on, what?
Submit.
Say it. Submit.
Amen.
Because the first chance, her offspring. Hear what I just said?
Uh-huh.
Her offspring. Remember, everything brings forth after its own kind. How can man that is unclean bring forth anything that's clean? Can't do it. What did her offspring do? Malt the child of promise.
That's right.
And that's when Sarah said, put them out.
Amen.
Now here's the way it works. Sarah dealt harshly with Hagar to start with. And this is the way everybody perceives grace.
Yeah. You're right.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
When they really, now I'm not talking about this, I'm not talking about the 8 spies grace.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the 2 spies kind of grace.
Exactly.
The kind of grace they give testimony to. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Free, sovereign, particular, choosing, electing, redeeming, predestinating grace.
Yes.
And people say, I'm offended by that. That's hard.
Yep.
Grace deals harshly with people because it says it's up to God.
Amen.
Amen.
And men run from it.
Yeah. You're right.
Men run from it.
Yeah.
They go out into the wilderness. And every now and then a message will come and they say, it says go back.
Yeah.
Submit. And they go back, but they cannot find it within themselves to what?
Submit.
To submit.
Amen.
And eventually they are what?
Mm-hmm.
Cast out.
Amen.
I ain't making this up, am I?
You don't submit.
It's right here in the scripture.
That's it.
That's one of the things that happened between Kadesh and another place. Here's another one. Genesis chapter 20. You know this one. Genesis 20 and verse 1. Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between. Here we go again. Between what? Kadesh and Shur. And sojourned in Gerar. What happened here?
Yeah.
Come on. What happened here? He tried to compromise truth.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He didn't deny Sarah altogether.
No.
Did he? He said, she's my sister. Was that true?
No.
Not really. Not really. Do you see the compromise here? You never, when you're between Kadesh and someplace else, you will find yourself compromising.
Exactly.
You will find yourself compromising. And let me say this, God's sovereignty never excuses lies. You can go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 through 26, and you will see that clearly. Yes, Paul says there was Hymenaeus and Philetus. They tell lies.
Yeah.
Their word will eat as doth a canker, and it's overthrown the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure.
Yeah.
Right? Now that's true, but what is the next phrase?
Yes, sir.
What's the next phrase? And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Amen.
And I tell you, iniquity don't have to be all the way down here. It's just got to be compromising the truth just a little. It's not my wife, she's my sister.
Yeah.
He didn't deny her, did he? Yeah. Yeah, he really did.
Yeah.
Well, that's what compromise is actually denying the truth itself.
Exactly.
There's two things that happened near Kadesh. Certainly there's a lot more there we could go into on those, but let's just move along. Let's see if we can glean just a little bit more here. There are other significant events at Kadesh as well. Now Israel was at Kadesh twice in their journey. First, they come through, they fought with Moab, whipped Moab. Now they're right up near the land, ready to go in. And God sends in the spies. The spies come back. Eight give an evil report. Two give a true report. And the people says, we believe the eight.
Yeah.
And that's the way the world is. They always believe the majority. And it's tough when you're in the minority.
Yeah.
You know that. And we live in a country where it's all about the majority. And even when they talk about the minority, now you forgive me for my political spiel here, but even when they do talk about the minority, it's always some affront to the truth, as far as I'm concerned. In some way or another. The minority. Well, let me tell you, God's people are in the minority.
Yes, sir.
But they are not the minority.
Amen. That's it.
They are not the minority. Why? Because their God is the God of all glory.
Amen.
That's why. There are other significant... They were at Kadesh. They rebelled. They went into the wilderness. God killed thousands, if not millions. Then they come back to Kadesh again.
Yeah.
But first of all, there's a Kadesh before you even get to Kadesh. Before it was even called Kadesh, it's called something else. Let me see where that's at. Genesis chapter 14 now. Now here is the account. You remember when the five kings come out against the four?
Mm-hmm.
Some of them fell in the slime pits. And the winning group came to Sodom and Gomorrah and took who? Lot.
Yeah.
You remember, that's the account.
Yep.
And let me find my spot here. Chapter 14 and verse 7. And they returned and came to in Mishpat.
Yeah.
Which is what? Which is Kadesh. Now, it wasn't called Kadesh then. Okay? It was called what? In Mishpat. But the writer now, Moses, when writing this, he knew all this now, right? When I read that, I thought, man, and I seen that, I thought, this is so amazing. It's amazing to me.
Yeah.
What is in Mishpat?
Yeah.
The judgment place. Yeah. If you literally translated that word, that's what it means.
Yeah.
In Mishpat, the judgment place. That's what Kadesh is. The judgment place. Does not Scripture say, Romans 8 verse 3, that God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, did what? Condemned sin in the flesh.
Amen.
He took care of it at in Mishpat.
Exactly.
In Mishpat, I'm sorry. You know what I'm talking about. Kadesh. That's when we really see the gospel. All through the Old Testament, the gospel's like little spurts.
Yeah.
Or as old Scott Richardson used to say, the gospel of the Old Testament was as but a spark. Ah, but when you see in Mishpat becoming Kadesh, the sanctuary, then the gospel is now full blown. When you read, according to Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that God the Father, I put that in, but here's what he's saying, that God the Father made him, the Son, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. That's far beyond what I even have time to deal with. That's something my mind cannot even fathom. Who knew no sin, he says.
Yeah.
But yet he made him to be sin. He became the very thing he loathed.
Yeah.
Was made to be that and suffered as that.
Yes, sir.
He said when he hung on that cross, and we're told about one of the Psalms, my sins.
Yeah.
He called them his own.
Yeah.
Our sins were laid on him and put in him.
Yes, sir.
That's what the book says.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's some out there arguing about all this. That's what the book says. That's what it means, whether I comprehend it all or not. But he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why? How? Or for what reason? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Is that not judgment and a sanctuary right all wrapped up in one place?
Exactly.
Is that not in Mishpat and Kadesh all together? And is it not Kadesh Barnea?
Amen.
A sanctuary for a fugitive in the wilderness.
Amen.
Huh? Is it not? But also think about the direct context here of Genesis chapter 14. In Mishpat was where the battle was fought.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? That's where the battle was fought.
Sir.
One of the only battles Abraham ever had to engage in, personally. Now, he didn't engage in the battle itself, but because of what transpired because of that battle, when they took Lot, what did he say? This ain't good.
That's right.
And this ain't going to be. And what did Abraham do? He went back and got his son, his brother, or brother, what is his nephew?
Yeah.
Got his nephew back, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
But in Mishpat is what? It's the place where the battle is fought. Now think about this. Turn to it. This is nothing new. Philippians now, chapter 3. This, I'm saying at Kadesh, at in Mishpat, this is where the battle's fought.
Yes.
It's not about straightening up society. It's not about abortion. It's not about politics.
You're right.
That's not where the battle's fought. God may engage you in some of these other things in his own way, but that's not where the battle's fought.
Exactly.
Look at it. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. Why?
Yeah.
Because Paul was an ensample. God had saved him by his grace, changed him by his grace. He was a different person now.
Yes, sir.
Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk. Now notice, they walk.
Oh yeah.
But you mark them so as you have us for an example.
Yeah.
For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. Paul didn't take this. He didn't use God's sovereignty as an excuse to laugh about everything.
No, sir.
Did he?
No.
I tell you even weeping. What? That they are what? The enemies of what? The enemies of free, they're the enemies of free grace. Not necessarily. It wasn't just there for free will. That's not, they're the enemies of the cross of Christ.
Amen.
Now I want you to think about this. Just take this, right? They're the enemies of the cross of Christ. Oftentimes men, when we talk about the 5 points, those things that actually deal with the whole purpose of God when it comes to the salvation of a people, and almost everybody who disagrees with any of that will at least always leave out the one point. What is it?
Oh, yeah.
Limited atonement.
That's right.
But let me tell you something. Right there is where God Almighty deals with men and women's hearts, is the person and work of Christ.
Amen.
That's where it's at. The battle's not about sovereignty. Every one of these Israelites knew God was sovereign.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'd experienced it.
Everyone.
They were under the cloud.
Yes, exactly.
They drank of the rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did they not?
Yes, sir.
Their problem was with this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kadesh. That's where their rebellion showed up the most.
Exactly.
God was merciful. You think about it. God was, when they cried for water, God gave them water.
Yeah.
When they cried for bread, God gave them bread. When they cried for meat, God gave them meat. But when they said, we can't go in,
yeah,
what did God do? Then you will die in the wilderness. Isn't that it? You see, there's an allegory for you.
Yes, sir.
Because that's where the battle's at, in Mishpat. The battle's at Kadesh. That's the judgment place. That's where the battle's fought. That's the lines. I remember Henry Mahan saying it years ago, and I really didn't get it then, because I was very young in the faith then. He said, you can stay back behind the lines and wrap bandages and all of it. And that's necessary.
Yeah.
It's essential. But he said, where the battle's at? Right up on the front lines. And you know where the front line's at? It's the preaching of the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the front lines. Mason, it ain't about eschatology.
Yeah.
It ain't about eschatology.
Yeah.
It ain't about when exactly Jesus is going to come back. We don't really know.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that he will come back. But here's it. Who is it coming back? It's the one that hung on that cross to start with.
Yes, sir.
Kadesh is the starting place.
Yes,
that's either where you will believe God and enter, or it's where you will reject him and die in the wilderness.
Exactly.
That's how important Kadesh is.
Yeah.
That's where the battles fought. But here's another one. The significant events of Kadesh. I gotta go through this. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Let me read that. And you all just bear with me. I'll try to go through this fairly briefly, but I don't want to just pass it over just for time's sake. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and look at verse 48. And the Lord spake unto Moses. Now this is when God, now here they are again. 40 years later, God said, Moses, you ain't going in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the events here. Moses, you're not going to enter. I'll let you see it. You can see it all. I'll let you see it. But you ain't going in. And there's a reason why, and we'll look at that in a moment. But you ain't going in. And it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, get thee up unto this mountain Abiram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I will give unto the children of Israel for possession, and die in the mount whither thou goest up. Now that had to be tough for Moses. You look at what he's been through.
Yeah.
And you know what? We've not recorded one complaint by Moses. You know that. If I don't get out of it what I think I ought to get out of it, you know what? Just let it go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just let it go. I don't know how many times I said, God, but why did you do that to me? You ever been there? Had a circumstance happen to you in your life and say, but why me?
Yeah.
Why me? Because it was for my best.
Amen.
That's all. I know all things work. I know. I don't always feel it. I know all things work together for good. Now, where was that? And die. What does it say? And die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto thy people. Why? Because ye transgressed against me among the children of Israel at the waters. Now look at what he calls it. Of Meribah Kadesh.
Amen.
Complaint against the sanctuary. Or complaint in the sanctuary. However, complain about the sanctuary. Complaint. But anyway, it's all this. Meribah Kadesh now. Complaint. 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 Right? Murmur. Bellyache. I almost said the word. I didn't. You know what it is. Just a gripe against God. Have you ever tried to justify it? Well, I'm not griping against God. I'm just griping against people. You ever tried to justify it that way? Well, I have. I still do that. Well, I'm not fussing about God. No, yeah, I realize. I understand. There is a place where we can say that person was wrong.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. I don't care who the wrong. Remember when old what's his name's up there chucking them rocks down at David?
Yeah.
David knew the truth. What did he say? God sent him to curse me.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he said?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that's tough, but that's Meribah Kadesh. Think about it. From Moses aspect do not add to the gospel.
That's right.
Do not add to the gospel. Add what? Anything.
Amen.
Other than what the gospel actually is.
That's it.
And that's what Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9.
Yep.
You know the passage. If anybody preaches any other gospel unto you than that which I preached unto you, let him go to hell.
That's right.
Amen. What he's saying. Let him be accursed. Now, wait a minute. But Lord, how could all these millions die in the wilderness? Because God had rejected them. Because at Kadesh, it became their Kadesh Barnea. That's why. Yep. God said, your carcasses will rot in the wilderness. And that's the way it's going to be.
Amen.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Throw up your hands and thank God for it.
Yeah, that's it.
And let me tell you, God actually said to Moses, I'll wipe the whole blessed bunch out.
Yeah.
At Kadesh. Go back and read it. Yes, God said, I'll wipe the whole blessed bunch out. And I believe this was for a reason. To bring Moses right back around to where he needed to be. He said, but Lord, if you do that, the Egyptians will mock and say you couldn't fulfill your promises.
Yeah.
So God said, you know what? I'm still going to wipe them out.
Yep.
I'm just going to let the young ones go in and the two that were faithful. You see, God's going to have his way.
Yes, sir.
No matter what. But let me tell you something. Now, Henry Mahan said this one time years ago about, remember when Moses married, was it Zipporah?
Yeah.
He didn't circumcise that boy they had.
Yeah.
And God met him in the way to kill him. And somebody said, what about God's promise and covenant? God's holiness and his truth means more than anything else in this world. And God sought to kill Moses. And Zipporah took a sharp stone, went over and circumcised that boy, and the wrath of God was stayed.
Yeah.
Isn't that what the book says?
Yes,
now you think about that.
Yeah.
Allegorize that. Moses, do not add to the gospel. How did Moses add to the gospel?
Yeah.
Moses was told the first time, take your stick and hit this rock.
Yeah.
And it'll bring forth water. Didn't he?
Yep.
The second time, now we'll tie this together in just a second. Bear with me. You got no place else to go other than to eat. So just hang tight. Moses strikes the rock. Water gushes out. What a glory, right? A second time rolls around. The people bellyache and complain. God says, I'll give them water. But didn't he?
Yeah.
Moses, what'd he say? Go speak to the rock.
Sir.
And what did Moses, when he got up there, he said, you bunch of rebels, just I could see me right there. That's that woman right there. Sit there and preach at the TV, you bunch of reprobates. You know, I used to be one of them.
Yeah.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
Maybe not a reprobate, but I was, by nature, I was just like everybody else.
Exactly.
Moses said, you bunch of rebels, must I bring you water out of the rock? Raised up his stick and whacked the rock.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Sir.
Now, it brought forth water.
Yes, it did.
Huh?
Yeah.
But Moses died in the wilderness because of it. Why? Because you do not add to God's gospel no matter what. Why was that important? Because that rock, Paul says, was Christ.
Amen.
Now, I never got that. Yeah. Until just a few months ago when I began looking at this. It really dawned on me. Do you know where the rock was the first time?
Yeah.
Rephidim.
Yeah.
Exodus chapter 17. What most people, if you look at it, is about a 10-day journey from Kadesh.
Uh-huh.
Where was the rock the second time?
Yeah.
Where was it? Kadesh.
Yeah.
It was at the sanctuary. That's where the rock's at now, at the sanctuary. And you don't have to hit it no more. It's one sacrifice for sin forever.
Amen.
Just speak.
Yeah.
Cry out under the rock, oh, rock, bless us. Yeah. Why? That rock, W-A-S, it was Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
That was Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Being a rock. And it followed. And that's when Paul said, that rock that followed them from Rephidim unto Kadesh.
Amen.
Isn't that? I don't understand that. I don't either. But it's true.
Yep.
That rock, Joe, however big it was, whatever it looked like, it was none other than the pre-incarnate Son of God formed as a rock.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And do not treat this rock any other way other than the way God says to.
Amen.
No matter who you are.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
No matter what our failures. Here's the last one. Let me just sum it up. No matter what our failures, though, Kadesh is a good place to die.
Amen.
Guess who died at Kadesh?
Yeah.
Miriam did.
Yeah.
Huh? Now, did she not rebel? Moses married that one gal, and she said, I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Yeah. I don't like... Aaron didn't like it either.
Yeah.
Did they? Don't like this. Shouldn't have married that broad. Mm-hmm. That's what they thought. Yeah, that was their attitude.
Yeah.
We're all holy. That's what they said.
Yep.
God struck her with leprosy.
Yep.
But guess what? God cured her of it too.
Amen.
Didn't he? And we're all Miriams.
Yes, sir.
I didn't say some of us are. We are all Miriams.
Amen.
But let me tell you, she still got to die. You know, she didn't get to go in the land. No, I understand that. But guess what? She got to die at the sanctuary.
That's right.
Huh? Numbers chapter 20, verse 1. And Hebrews 11 verifies this. These all. Think of all the things these people went through. But then it sums up their lives this way. These all died, how?
Yeah.
In faith.
Amen.
Now here's a question. Have you ever been to Kadesh?
Yes, sir. That's it.
If you're here this morning, you've been to Kadesh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, sir. That's right.
Now, did you think I was going to say, well, if this happened? No. If you've been here this morning... You've been to Kadesh.
Amen.
You've been where the sanctuary is at. I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about where the message of the person and work of Jesus Christ is proclaimed. Now, let me ask you this. What will be your reaction at Kadesh?
Sir.
How will you respond at Kadesh?
Amen.
Yeah, that's it.
Isn't that the question?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Isn't that the question? Father, these things are so profound, so far above such lips of clay, yet we know this is the way you've ordained to do it. And we thank you. As our beloved brother Joe said, you loosed our tongues. Well, we were able to speak, but all we spoke was lies, hypocrisies, hateful things. But you loosed our tongues, and we're able to speak of thy grace, thy mercy and thy glory. We thank you for it. Lord, give us grace in Christ, I pray. Amen.